Congregation, I would invite you to open to the Gospel of Mark. Again, we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We continue the series on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Please give diligent attention to the reading of God's holy word. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Thus far, reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, human hands, a complex and fascinating creation of God's handiwork, they have more bones than any other structure of the body. Our hands, one of the most important parts of our body, a representation of God's creative power. We work with our hands. And this very fact proves that we are made in our Creator's own image, because we also work and create with them. You know, Isaac Newton, the English scientist, said, "In the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence." In the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. We hug with them, and we raise our children with them. We also discipline our children with them, right, children? Your parents do when it's needed. We know that our soldiers, they protect our country with them, fighting in battles. And the doctors perform delicate surgeries with them. Our hands tough and durable, yet sensitive. We work with them, we help with them, and we serve and bless our God with them. And of course, sometimes people do sinful things with their hands. But my point is this. Seriously, how would you manage without your hands? I can't even imagine how hard it must be for people who lost their hands. Without hands, you cannot do most basic and most important things in your life. And this was exactly what this poor man in our text tonight, he was experiencing in his life. So we read chapters 1 and 2, now we're in chapter 3. We know that Jesus now is in Capernaum. And we know that in chapter 2, he healed the paralyzed man on a Sabbath already. And we know that Jesus' disciples plucked the grain and ate the grain on a Sabbath. And they were rebuked by Pharisees by that. And we know that Jesus, facing opposition from the Pharisees and Jewish leaders. And chapter 2 ends with Jesus stating that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So our text tonight is first two verses. And Jesus entered again into the synagogue, and we see there was a man with a withered hand. And they watched him carefully, the Pharisees. They wanted to know if he would heal this man, right, on the Sabbath day. Why? So that they might accuse him. As I already said, the Pharisees were seriously concerned about God's law. And particularly about the Sabbath and its observance. In fact, the Pharisees were very rigorous about this meticulous observance of the Torah. And they loved the law to the fault. We Christians, we love Ten Commandments. We love God's law. Even Psalmist sings in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." The law was given to people with one main purpose: to teach us of God's holy character and to know what pleases our God, and also to love God. Because in Matthew 22, Jesus summarizes the entire purpose of the law for us. Matthew 22:37. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself." But the Pharisees, they never got it. They loved the law more than the giver of the law, and more than the one who came to fulfill the law. The Pharisees hated Jesus, him who came to obey the law perfectly for them, on behalf of the people. But they did not care for him and for that. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, many Christians today, they do look like Pharisees. Sometimes even us, we do like Pharisees. You know, we love to buy expensive Bibles in Amazon. Why? For status. And we have little concern what is written in the Bible. Just today, I was talking to one of my brothers, right? We read all kinds of things during the week, but so little from the Bible. Sometimes we care more of the outward appearance, like the soft sheepskin cover or calfskin cover, than of the content of the Scripture. And we love to carry our beaten up old Bibles with us, so people may see it and praise us for that. And you know, if we do that, we already receive man's glory. But of course, there are Christians who love to read the Bible. But you know, they may love to read the Bible, but they kind of not applying what they read. Some Christians love to study it, to learn from it, with only one purpose: to win arguments. And unfortunately, all these Christians, they live in the same manner. Like the Pharisees, year after year, week after week. And they never change. And they love their idols. They don't love God. They love their toys more than their neighbors. Is that exactly like these Pharisees? So let me ask you tonight, what good change do you observe in your life, in your Christian walk since you became a Christian? Do you see your love towards God is actually growing? The Pharisees knew much of the law, but it didn't give any effect, and they were doing nothing to express their love to God and their neighbor. They were going through the motions from Sabbath to Sabbath. And Jesus knows their hearts, and He knows their mind. It says here in verses 1 and 2, on that day when Jesus entered the synagogue, the Pharisees didn't come with clean heart to worship God, to express their love to Him. They came with one intention. Just think about it. They're in synagogue to conspire against God Almighty, the Savior of the world. Let's see what He's going to do. Just think about it. They came to conspire against Christ, the Lord, so that they could accuse Him and destroy Him. So they carry on with their evil plot. And we don't know if the Pharisees brought this man with a withered hand, or he just walked on that day into this synagogue. But he was there. It says in our text, and Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And He said to them, to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" I mean, what kind of question is that? Of course, right? It is obvious. And congregation, you may know the right answers to these questions, but if you know them only in the surface, then we are like the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees, their teaching was harmful to the people. It was bad for their spirituality. They were not doing any good, and they were not saving any life in their ministry. And they didn't want to see that anybody else is doing it. And you may ask me how they were harming people. What's wrong with their teaching? Well, they were loving something very good more than God. They were placing the law above God. They were trusting the law as their Savior. And tonight, if I ask you, do you believe that you are a good person? Like if you asked at that time, each Pharisees in that room, they would say, yeah. Do you believe that you are a good person because you love God's law? Do you believe that you are a good person because you pray, read the Bible, and come to church on Sundays? If we do believe in these things, you know, you see how it's easy to believe in these things. We are like Pharisees. We're also in trouble, and we still remain in our sins. Don't you know that all good people who believe that they are good people, and you know, they may do lots of good outwardly, these good people, they don't go to heaven who believe that they're good people in themselves. I know that. You know that. According to the Scripture's teaching, there is no good, not even one. Every single one is evil until God comes and makes him good. And only God is able to change us from evil to good, from bad to good, from sinful to righteous. So Jesus called this sinful man with a withered hand, "Come here." A man whose life was so hard and miserable. And Jesus came to heal these people whose life is hard and miserable. He came to change him. He came to restore him. And Jesus called this man who can't work. Who can't serve. A man who can't hug his parents or his wife or his children with two strong hands. Jesus called this man to restore his hands so that he can do it once again. As someone said, that our hands are the ones that God uses to hug his children. So in verse 4, Jesus said to these Pharisees, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill?" I mean, what kind of questions is that? And they kept silent. Let's think about it. They kept silent. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So the entire purpose of Jesus coming was to do good and to save lives. So he says that. Is it lawful to do good? Yeah. Of course, he came to do that. But you know, these Pharisees were children of Satan, right? Who only comes to kill, destroy, and steal. Because they kept silent. Then in John 3:17. And in John 12:47, it says that, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." And the law does exactly opposite. It didn't save, but it condemns. And it condemns even the Pharisees. It condemns the whole world, even us. The law judges, not justifies, according to Romans 3:20. Only Jesus and His works, they do justify sinners, because Jesus was born and lived under the law for you and me, for us sinners. And those who trust in Him for their salvation, they were brought into God's eternal rest. And if you're in Christ tonight, then you've also been brought into God's eternal Sabbath. And you can experience it even now, resting in Christ. Your soul hid in Christ. But the Pharisees were not there yet. They were not resting. So Jesus asked them about the particular Sabbath day. What is lawful to do in that day? We know that it is lawful to do good and save life. It is lawful to do works of mercy and works of necessity as Jesus did. Not only that, but they are encouraged and required by God, as Jesus sets a great example for us. So congregation, the day of rest, because we are resting in Christ, Sunday, it's the day of displaying God's glory through the works of mercy and God's grace, which God called us to do. So when was the last time you expressed God's mercy on the Lord's Day? Because we know, as Jesus showed us, it's the great day to visit the sick and the needy. And now I know our deacons, they do visit people in the convalescence home there. Tonight, the Lord is challenging us with the same question that He challenged the Pharisees. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? Of course. Or is it lawful to do harm? And to kill? No. The Pharisees responded with silence. And you know, Jesus looked around at them with anger. He grieved in their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was restored. And what the Pharisees do, they immediately leave the synagogue. You know what? They're so angry. They're upset. They don't want to worship God. And they held counsel with the Herodians. Wow. With the Herodians. The enemies of Israel. How to destroy him. With Romans. Brothers and sisters, Christianity is easy in a sense because salvation from sin and eternal life is given to us free of charge. It was paid by Christ and given to us as a free gift. However, Christian life is also challenging. It's a hard work for God's kingdom. Many times it's sweaty. Sometimes it's bloody in terms of suffering for Christ. In terms of fighting against sin and fleshly desires. It's hard in terms of fighting for the souls of the people. It's hard in terms of diligently and daily praying for the dying souls. It's hard in terms of taking the good news out. It's difficult in terms of sacrificing your time, money, and skills for someone else, right? And it's uncomfortable to share the gospel with people whom you don't know, especially who are hostile. Especially in our individualistic culture, it's not easy to talk to a stranger about Jesus. And it's certainly not comfortable to invite them to your home and to cook for them delicious meals. Christianity requires great love for sinners. Not the righteous, but sinners. And we see Jesus manifested that love. He did good. He loved that man with the withered hand. And God loved you sacrificially. And He calls us to do the same. To love Him sacrificially. And you know, it is not easy in the flesh. But it is easy when we remember that while we were still sinners, our Lord loved us and still loves you today. We were spiritually handicapped. And God came to us and healed us. Christ paid for every sin. And He says in John 12:47, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it." Proverbs 3:27. Jesus healed this man. And by healing this man on the Sabbath day, Jesus was pointing to the eternal Sabbath, to eternal rest, which Jesus will ultimately bring to all who rest in Him. To all of you who rest in Christ, Jesus will bring that Sabbath to fruition. It's exactly what Jesus is doing here in our text. You know, otherwise, He would just wait till next day and heal the man on, you know, Monday. Why healed him in Sabbath? No. Because He wanted to bring him rest and show him that he will be brought in rest. Christ came to bring us that rest. He came to do good to us, to give us good, to give us salvation. But He also came to restore your lives, to repair it, even while here on earth. Why? So that he may display the power of his kingdom. And he led the Pharisees to destroy him for your sins, for my sins. And while he was destroyed for us, he restored us and repaired our lives so that we may serve him, that we may serve his kingdom. Where is his kingdom? It's everywhere. All belongs to Christ. And there are so many needs in the work of God's kingdom. And he calls us today, like that man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out, and he was immediately healed. You know, today we don't heal people like Jesus did, but we certainly point people to the more important healing, healing of the soul from sin and death. And it is our job today to tell a sinner, stretch out his hands. Stretch out your hands to God. Raise your hands up to God. Pray to him and bless his holy name. Worship Christ. Because he is able to heal your soul. And he will bring you to that Sabbath rest. And he will restore and repair your broken life, even now. May God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this passage, for this gospel. Jesus asks, is it lawful to do good or harm? To save life or to kill? Oh, Father, we know that it is never lawful to harm or to kill, but it's always lawful, even in the Sabbath day, to do the works of mercy and grace, to save life. Father, use us. Help us to understand. Help us to apply this gospel even in our lives. We ask that you would enable your people, help and strengthen them, even to follow Jesus Christ in all these things. It is in his precious name we pray. Amen.